you ready to awaken to a new you? Welcome to Healthy You Radio, the radio network that empowers you to heal you. Dr. Keisha Yours is here to share over 30 years of frontline medical experience, bringing you the latest scientific and medical research tempered with the holistic wisdom of Ayurveda and functional medicine, all so you can be the best you can be. And now your host, Dr. Keisha Yours.
Welcome to Healthy You Radio. This is Keisha Yours, your wellness coach and advisor for today. I'm bringing you radio that empowers you to heal yourself. Good afternoon, Eric.
Good afternoon, Keisha. How are you on this beautiful Wednesday here in the Puget Sound?
Just fantastic because of all of those things you just said.
Awesome.
It's really wonderful to see that spring has truly sprung, and people are coming into the clinic right now with a spring in their step, so it's nice.
Good.
Everybody feels like they've come out of the gray of the Pacific Northwest winter, and they're pretty happy. So I think, you know, because we know the other side of the coin, we all really appreciate this when we have it, right?
It's still kind of nippy at night, though.
I love it.
Took a walk last night, and I was like amazed because it was still daylight, but it was starting to get dark. It was like, I should have bundled up a little more.
Yeah, it's good running weather. I've been loving that.
So. Well, when you're dragging a beagle with you, you don't run as much.
You have to drag your beagle. My golden doodles drag me. So.
No. We don't have to drag her, but still, if we started running, she'd probably be
She wouldn't
out.
Like it. Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, I just have to hold.
I got things to sniff.
A little ball in my hand, you know, because mine are retrievers and they go anywhere I say.
There you go.
They're pretty happy. Well, of course, this is Wednesday. It's the day that we get to talk to fabulously interesting authors and people that are working in the field of health and wellness, which of course has to do with everything, spirituality, environmental, emotional, mental, and physical. And our guest today is no exception from that. His name is Dr. Daniel Toogood, and he's a chiropractor who began practicing at the International Sports Medicine Institute in West Los Angeles in 1983, where he treated many of the athletes of the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics. And during private practice, he discovered that the diet-pain connection was true and wrote his first book, No Milk, in 1991. And he's written three other books about chronic pain since then. And his newest book is called Chronic Pain Gone, 90 Days. Welcome to Healthy You Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, let's start with the difference between acute pain and chronic pain.
Sure. Everybody knows what acute pain is. You know, we've all bumped our knees or bonked our heads or stubbed your toe or cut yourself, burned yourself, twisted an ankle, strained your back, etc. All of us have experienced pain many, many, many times throughout our lives. And we sort of take it in stride in most cases because we know what happens. We hurt for a little while, the body heals, the pain goes away without doing anything at all. Sometimes maybe you need to take an aspirin or put a Band-Aid on it or use some ice or go to the chiropractor or get some acupuncture or maybe sometimes have surgery. But in all those cases where an injury causes the pain goes away. Chronic pain, on the other hand, is different, but it's very similar, and that's where the confusion comes in. Chronic pain, the problem in conventional medicine is that pain, acute pain and chronic pain are both treated exactly the same, and that's because they feel exactly the same. They both hurt. They're both caused by inflammation, which is a series of events in the body that cause swelling, pain, heat, and redness, and that's where the similarities end. After that, acute pain, like I just said, goes away all on its own or with a little bit of help. Chronic pain does not go away. And so because it feels the same and it's caused by inflammation, conventional medics do the same things. They use ice and heat and anti-inflammatories and pain medication and pain management, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you go to a medical doctor for chronic pain, or for a regular pain, they'll treat you for a short period of time and you'll recover. They'll give you anti-inflammatories and pain pills and monitor your case and you'll recover. If you don't recover, what do? They extend your prescription, they write you off of work for a longer period of time, and you keep getting the same pills. But then they'll start doing more tests, x-rays, CAT scans, et cetera, and they never get to an answer. But the same thing happens in alternative care clinics like acupuncture or chiropractic care. If you strain your back and go to the chiropractor, you'll get a series of treatments, 3, 4, 5, maybe 10 treatments, and the doctor will write you off of work. After 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, you'll recover. They release you back to work and off you go. If you don't recover, what happens? They continue with more chiropractic treatment. They write you off for a longer period of time, et cetera. And a lot of you people listening who have suffered with chronic pain, you know that now you're sitting on the couch, you're not going to work, you're still getting treatment, and you're not getting better. So your inflammation has not gone away. Pain and chronic pain are both caused by inflammation. The problem with chronic inflammation is chronic pain is the inflammation does not go away. It keeps going on and on and on. And so if you go on the internet and look up chronic pain and see what the theories are, they know that it's about chronic inflammation, but they can't explain it. They say maybe it's an infection or maybe you have a nerve irritation. There's just no answers, and the only answers are in drugs. So if you keep doing the same treatments over and over again, whether it's chiropractic care or drugs or whatever, you don't get better. And there's a reason for that, and that's what I explain in my books.
And that's the definition of insanity, by the way.
Yes, the definition of insanity. But that's you know, again, what conventional medicine has become. You keep doing the same thing over and over again, even though you're not getting results. And what's amazing to me is that the whole patient, the people who are patients in this country have become complacent with that. They kind of get used to it, and they think, I have to go pay the doctor even though I'm not getting better. So
maybe it's just my corner of the world, but I am seeing a shift in that. And I'm starting to use less language that is so general. You know, I'm starting to say some and some, because I am really seeing a shift in patients being able tolerating that kind of medicine. Because, I mean, my clinic's inundated. My schedule is always overflowing because people are looking for something different.
Right, and you are exactly right. I am seeing the trend, too. Mm-hmm. I wrote my first book 20 years ago. It was called No Milk, mm-hmm. and it's about the fact that most chronic inflammation is caused by a specific protein that's in milk and dairy foods.
And you were crazy then, but
yeah,
you're not now.
Yeah, I was crazy then, and my wife told me. My wife told me at the time, she said, you're 20 years ahead of your time.
Right.
It was a real uphill battle because the National Dairy Council tells everybody just the opposite, and, you know, of course, they're the know-it-all authorities.
Right.
I've still frustrated in many, many cases now, but more and more people are open to it. And what's amazing to me is that I have patients who like regular chiropractic care, but every time I talk to them about their diets, they start rolling their eyes. Well, I've had several of those patients now come around and mm-hmm. finally say, okay, I'm tired of this chronic pain. What is it I do?
Right.
And we go over it specifically, and now there's these fanatics that follow my program, and the results are undeniable.
Right. And, you know, it is interesting because you never know what seeds you're planting, which is why I do radio, because one day I said, I would like to reach more than one person at a time. And, you know, I will say, you know, where you're headed right now is towards autoimmunity. And then I don't see that person again. And then a year and a half later, I've had this happen several times where they come in and they say, okay, I was just diagnosed with MS. What is it that you told me I need to do with my diet again? You know, and now they're really motivated. And I have to say, I was the one that required the cast iron frying pan conked across my head also. So
really?
I'm pretty good about not judging that, you know. Yeah, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. That's what got me into this and made me understand what is important about what I eat and what I think. Mm-hmm. Both are so important.
Absolutely. It's the mind, body.
Right.
You know, what I tell people is the basis of my work is if you want to do some research, the researcher's name is Hans Selye, S-E-L-Y-E.
The father of the stress adaptation
the stress of life.
Right.
And all pain, you know, to give your listeners a simple concept, which you've probably given them many times, is that all pain and all disease is caused by one thing, and that is stress. It's
mm-hmm.
actually too much stress. You know, we can't have life unless we have some stress. If you want to stay in bed all day, that's as little stress as you can handle, but that's not very stimulating. We want to be stimulated. But if you stimulate yourself too much, then you get stressed, and the indicator light comes on, and that indicator light is pain.
Right.
And it tells you you've done too much. But the three forms of stress that I talk about with patients are physical stress, bending, lifting, twisting, falling, auto accidents, etc., mental stress, which is jobs, relationships, bills, etc. And the third one that conventional medicine misses is chemical stress. You know, the if you want to affect the human condition, the most powerful way to do it is chemically. And of course, that's the foundation of conventional medicine, isn't it?
Yes,
if you go to a medical doctor with any kind of a health issue, he or she is going to listen to you for a few minutes, and then their mind is going to go through and come up with a diagnosis. And what's the solution for that diagnosis? It's a pharmaceutical, and they'll write you a script.
And actually, you just said something that struck a chord with me that I just realized is not true, and that is that the foundation of conventional or Western medicine as we know it today is not that. Actually, the foundation, you know, if you look at Hippocrates, was that food is medicine, medicine is food. And so we've gotten away from the foundation of chemical or of conventional medicine, and we've made it chemical in the modern day.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. The foundation today
right.
is that the doctors come out and they're looking
but I just
to
realized
change
that.
Your chemistry.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you another basic concept that I really like simple concepts. If you can grasp a simple concept and then move from that towards the truth, you will get more answers. The simple concept is this. Most people in this country believe that if something is wrong with you, whether it's rheumatoid arthritis, migraines, back pain, depression, psoriasis, any kind of diseased condition or painful condition, that the solution is to take something. Mm-hmm. And that's either a supplement, a drug, a protein shake, a protein powder, something like that. And when I tell people it has more to do with the diet, then they go, okay, what are the foods I should eat? What should I add to my system so that my inflammation goes down, my pain goes away, I have more energy, etc.?
Mm-hmm.
That is flawed thinking. Actually, what I have faith in is the human body is built really, really well, and it will heal on its own. The solution is not to add anything. The solution is to subtract,
right.
And that is to find out what's feeding your inflammation, what's causing your depression, what changes do you need to make as far as getting rid of habits, foods, supplements, drugs, etc., in order to solve your problem. And that's what I do every day in my practice. I talk to people, and it's a tedious process, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a medical doctor, it'd be so easy. You know, you look for a few signs and symptoms, you pick a drug, and you send them out the door. Here, what I do is we examine the patient, and then we have to go over a long interview with what they're putting in their bodies, and I'm looking, of course, for specific things.
Right.
And, then we go from there.
You know, it's really interesting because functional medicine, of course, is looking at root cause, and it's based on dietary pieces. And so, you know, when I first started studying functional medicine, it was just a few doctors in the room, and now it's hundreds. And so it's fascinating to me that we are making this big shift, and now more and more physicians and medical practices, I'm clinging still to the insurance model to help my patients so that they can get paid, for have their medicine paid for in a way that they're paying into it. But I don't know how much longer that's going to last. You know, many medical practices anymore that do this work, because I see patients for an hour at a time. Mm-hmm. And so, and I downbill a lot. And so what will happen with that, is that eventually that's not a sustainable model for a lot of people. And I find that more and more, like in functional medicine, the assessment sheets, the things that are done, the questions that are asked, it's all individualized and it's all about diet and it's what you need to remove and what toxicities are present. And that's going to be in the form of chemical and food and emotional and mental. And there's a lot out there right now that the human has to field as far as toxins in the environment. And a lot of it is what we buy at the grocery store. So we're going to take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about what those look like. You're listening to Healthy You Radio. This is Keisha Ewer. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Daniel Toogood.
I really know how it feels to be stressed out. Oh, when you're face to face with your adversity.
Do you suffer from allergies, food sensitivities, hormone imbalance, depression, fatigue, weight gain, burnout, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, autoimmune disorders, skin problems, anxiety, or have stomach or gut issues? There is a solution. Dr. Keisha Ewers has over 30 years in medicine and brings the world of naturopathic medicine, Ayurveda, and her Western medical education together to form an integrative approach to solving the root cause of illness. Dr. Keisha spends more time with her patients than most doctors and really listens to their stories in order to help cure a problem rather than just treating symptoms. Give yourself the gift of good health and call Dr. Keisha today. Take control of your life and call Firm Life Center at 425-391-3376 for an appointment. For more information about Dr. Keisha and Fern Life Center, go to fernlifecenter.com. Mention this ad and get a copy of Keisha's anti-inflammatory lifestyle article for free. Most insurance plans accepted.
Are you fighting with stubborn weight that won't come off? As you've probably learned by now, fad diets don't work in the long run. At Fern Life Center, their highly experienced and educated medical providers can develop a program that'll help you lose those pounds of pain. They start with genetic hormone, adrenal, and allergy testing first. After you've gone over the results, you'll then choose the option that best suits your needs and begin working with their nutritionists and or ideal protein weight loss coaches. Your plan will be augmented with treatments such as massage, colon hydrotherapy, counseling and hypnotherapy, detoxification with their far infrared sauna, and exercise on the 4-minute range of motion machine will tone and detoxify you as you lose your weight. They'll track your body fat composition, lab results, weights, and measurements so you can see your success as those pounds melt off. Call 425-391-3376 today to make an appointment with Keisha and take charge of your health today.
Information provided on the Healthy You radio show is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for the advice provided by your physician or other healthcare professional. You should not use the information from the broadcast of the radio show for diagnosing or treating a health problem, disease, or prescribing any medication or other treatment.
We know that Reiki can change your life, but here's what others have to say about Fern Life Center's Reiki program.
Learning Reiki from someone as loving and skilled as Keisha has transformed my life. I started with levels 1 and 2, and I've gone all the way to Reiki Master. It has healed so many parts of my own life, and now I can help others with this amazing gift of energy work. You can even start your own Reiki business after taking the first level. It has generated new income in my life I never expected, and plus Keisha helped me develop my psychic abilities, and now I feel like I have a handle on my own destiny. If you really want to serve others, take Reiki and be healed as you learn to heal.
Go to fernlifecenter.com for more information. That's fernlifecenter.com.
Spread the word. You don't have to settle for the usual talk radio. Now there's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to Healthy You Radio. You're joining us today for a radio that empowers you to heal yourself. And joining me today is Dr. Daniel Tugood, the author of Chronic Pain Gone 90 Days. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Tugood.
Thanks a lot.
So we've been talking a little bit about what pain means. And one of the things that you say in your book is pain's not what you did, it's what you ate. And I quite loved that.
Yes, it's true.
And another thing you said in there that I always say to my patients is, you don't say it this way. I always say, try you will not, do you will, you know, it. My little Yoda impression. And you say in there, try means not doing it. And I really believe that, too, that that's what that word try means. It gives you a safety net for, well, I'm really not going to do it.
Right. If you want to make a change in how you feel, which you've got to face facts. If you have a chronic condition, whatever it is, and you're not getting better, you have to realize that something has to change. Mm-hmm. You can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again or you're not going to get better. So
right.
The very first place to look is at your diet. And that's what this approach is all about.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll go through someone's labs with them when I first meet them and we do a big look under the hood I don't know. They'll have like some of the things that they've been doing. And up here, vitamin D is a big issue. And if their vitamin D is 18, you know, and they'll say, well, I'm already taking vitamin D. You know, it's sort of like so obvious to me. Well, clearly it's not working, you know. So you have to change whatever it is you're doing because clearly it's not working. So when we want to change and make changes that are clearly not working for us, what are those dietary considerations? One of the things that you talk about at the top of the list, as you say, is casein.
Right. Casein is the main protein found in milk and dairy foods, which, of course, is one of the pillars of what the government has always considered the great healthy standard American diet. But the standard American diet is responsible for standard American health, which is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to realize that if you have a chronic condition and you're hurting all the time or your skin is inflamed all the time or whatever it is, you've got to look at the foods that you got to look at the chemicals that you're putting in your body. Our most intimate contact with chemicals that affect our health is, of course, what we eat, the foods that we swallow. They make their way into our bloodstream, and they have an effect. If you don't think so, drink a bunch of alcohol and see what happens. It'll have an effect on your nervous system. A bunch of caffeine, same thing. Mm-hmm. But my accidental discovery was revealed in the title of my first book, which was No Milk, and that is that casein, the main protein in milk and dairy foods, causes most chronic inflammatory diseases. Most, that means between 50 and 75% of all cases of rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, lupus, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic back pain, migraines, the list goes on, are caused by casein, the protein in milk and dairy foods. It took me years to figure it out. I figured it out that it was dairy foods, but I didn't know what it was in dairy foods until I had a patient who had migraines. We did a series of chiropractic treatments for about 3 or 4 weeks and took him off of, eliminated all milk and dairy foods. His migraines that he'd had since he was a boy, he was 65, were totally gone. I released the patient, and about 6 months later, he came back in, and he said, my migraines are back. And so I looked at my notes and said, okay, we did chiropractic care, and we took you off of milk and dairy foods. You must be eating milk and dairy foods again. He says, no, I'm not. So I said, well, what are you eating? Again, we had to start the whole process again. And so I said, you were doing cereal with milk for breakfast. What are you doing now? He said, I'm drinking Ensure. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's Ensure? And he said, it's a protein shake that has everything you need, a meal in a can for elderly people. So I said, it's got to have milk in it. He says, no, I read the label carefully. There is no milk in it. So I went and bought a can. And it's either the second or third ingredient was sodium caseinate. Mm-hmm. And at the time, this was 30 years ago, 25 years ago, I didn't know what caseinate was, so I looked it up, and it's milk protein. So what I found out from that point on is that there are many non-dairy foods, like the coffee creamers that are very popular now, the foo-foo ones like French vanilla and hazelnut. And,
which is how I discovered casein in non-dairy form. Because, with my RA, I'd gone away from milk and I started replacing it with those and was still bloating and still having troubles with my gut. And I said, I wonder if it's in this, and exactly same kind of idea, and found out, sure enough, there it is. So,
So the details are clear. And I don't want your listeners to be chemists, but there are three main proteins in milk and dairy foods. Casein is the main one. Then there's lactoalbumin and lactoglobulin. Those are all three different proteins. The two that start with lacto, those together make up what's called whey. And so when you see a whey product, W-H-E-Y, in foods, it doesn't contain the casein. Even though it's a dairy food, it does not contain the casein, which is the pro-inflammatory substance. The other thing you should know about casein is that butter is a dairy food also, but it does not contain any protein. It's pure milk fat. So there is no casein. So the casein is the pro-inflammatory agent, and that's the basis of my work, and that's how I try to explain it to patients. Now, people who have pain, like lower back pain or migraines, they take anti-inflammatory medications like ibuprofen, Motrin, Aleve, Advil, aspirin, etc. And so they take this pill, it goes into your system, and it doesn't go right to your headache, it doesn't go right to your back pain. It lowers the heat in your body, which is the overall level of inflammation in your body, which, by the way, is a blood test. I'm sure you've told your listeners, C-reactive protein.
Right.
So this level of inflammation goes down because of the chemistry of the drugs that stop our body's functions, anti-inflammatories, and then you feel better. Wherever your aches and pains are, they feel a little bit better. But the basis of my work is that these specific substances in foods, food additives, supplements, and medications, there are certain ones, like casein we just talked about, that are pro-inflammatory. They're like, if you and I were standing next to a campfire, and you had a bucket of water and were throwing it on the fire, and I had a bucket of gasoline was thrown on the fire wouldn't go out. The anti-inflammatory effect of the water would be overridden by the pro-inflammatory effect of the gasoline, and that's what we do. If you take an anti-inflammatory medication, yet you feed the inflammation with casein, milk protein, or some of the other things I'm going to discuss, you're beating your head against the wall, and that's why your condition becomes chronic. So it's a matter of eliminating the pro-inflammatory substance. And I want to make a comment, too, about casein is the substance in milk and dairy foods. Caseinate is the form of it that's in non-dairy foods, many non-dairy foods. But my observation in practice, and my book, which is called Chronic Pain Gone 90 Days, is solely based on observations. There is no debating what's in the book because I'm just describing what I've seen in practice, and I'm sure you've done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've seen is that every patient who reacts in an inflammatory way to casein and caseinate, all of those patients also react to chocolate, only their reaction is worse. Chocolate is the most powerful cause of pain. So that's something you should know. If you're going to cut out the dairy foods and you want the desired effect, you've also got to cut out chocolate. And I find a lot of patients find that is extremely difficult. But
they hate it. Oh, my gosh. I keep a tissue box on my desk, and I literally need it frequently because people will cry because it's overwhelming.
Sure.
You know, food is used for such a variety of reasons, and nutrition is really not a lot of times the first on the list.
Right.
And so, you know, you start saying all of these things to them and they get overwhelmed because already, depending on the level of pain and discomfort that you're having in your life, you're already overwhelmed. And now you do this, and it depends on the personality type of the person. Sometimes they don't handle it so well.
Right. And speaking of the personality types of people, I find there's two approaches. One might be better than the other depending on the patient. And that is, for some patients, you just tell them, here are the things you need to avoid. These specific two or three things, whatever I come up with on the list based on the interview I have with them and their symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Some people find that difficult. They said, can't you just tell me what I can eat?
Right.
And so I go, yes, I can. And so here's your list of what you can eat. And so depending on the patient's mentality, they may find one approach easier than the other.
Right.
But one of the things I tell patients is we go down the list. We've talked about the pro-inflammatory substances. The way the book is organized is I list the chapters. I call it ingredients because if you look at a label of a processed food, the ingredients list starts with the stuff that's the most in the container, like water or high fructose corn syrup or whatever it is, and then it goes down the list and the substances get to be a smaller portion of what's in the container. So that's how my chapters are listed. This is the most important. The most common cause of chronic inflammation is casein and caseinate and chocolate. So that's 50 to 75% of all cases.
And I want to mention that this doesn't matter if it's milk chocolate or dark chocolate. It's the most commonly asked question in my practice, you know,
right.
That it's chocolate that is the problem.
Right. And again, I have to answer, the first thing I say to people, I say, well, what is the connection between chocolate and milk and dairy foods? And I'll say, other than the fact of what I just told you in my observations, I don't honestly know, because patients who react to casein and caseinate will react to milk chocolate, dark chocolate. They'll even react to artificial chocolate and chocolate flavoring.
I can tell you what it is.
What is it? Tell me.
Ayurvedic medicine. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Ayurveda, of course, says that no one size fits all and that we all have these different body types. And the people that are more highly reactive are usually the people that are called pitta. They have a lot of fire in them and they've burned themselves out and they get leaky gut and they get inflammation. And that's a pitta imbalance is inflammation. And the caffeine that's in the chocolate is actually more inflammatory producing. And so the darker the chocolate, actually, the higher the caffeine level. And so when you say, well, so if I just stay away from milk chocolate, will that do it? Well, no, because the milk in there, of course, is going to be inflammatory producing. But then if you take the milk out and you get a higher strength of the cacao in there, that also, because the caffeine level goes up.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's confusing for patients, too, is that they've read and heard in so many places that
it's
dark
an antioxidant.
is good for you. You know,
right.
what a lot of scientists do, you know, I'm a macroscopic kind of guy. Although we talk about casein, caseinate, and a little bit here, monosodium glutamate, aspartame, and other chemical substances, I'm a macroscopic kind of guy. You know, what happens when you take this away? You feel better. Oh, what happens when you give this back? Oh, you feel worse. And so then you can theorize about what it is specifically in those foods. But when researchers take apart a food and say, here's the healthy stuff in them, so you should eat these things because they have the healthy stuff, you know, that's not the way to look at it, because just because it has healthy stuff, I mean, you could look at cigarettes and say, hey, look, there's some stuff in here that's antioxidant, so go ahead.
Tobacco,
and
after all, is a plant.
Right.
Right.
So, and if you really want to be entertained, when you look at, you know, I have people read labels for foods, and they find it difficult a lot of times because I give them a list of big names to look for, and they say, you know, this is so difficult. And I said, well, do you want the shortcut? And they go, yeah, what's the shortcut? I said, if it has a label on it, don't get it.
That's what I say, too.
And but you know, when you analyze the ingredients in a food, like if you analyze a tomato and you say, well, the important vitamins are C and A, and that's why you eat a tomato. And so people go, well, I'll just get the pills and eat them. But it's in God's plan. It is the food, the whole food, the vitamin C, the vitamin A, the bioflavonoids, all of the different things that are in the food in combination with that food. It's the whole natural food that is nourishing, not the individual parts.
Well, it received the sunshine, it received the minerals from the earth, you know. It has, in Ayurveda, you know, you would call that high prana. And a pill does not have prana in it. That's there's no life force in a pill.
Right.
And there's life force in a tomato. And, of course, the higher life force is going to be the tomato that you grow in your backyard that wasn't picked green and shipped across the border from another country.
Right. Well,
or sprayed with pesticides.
Actually, I just read that it's the other way around. The ones that come from Mexico and most of the restaurants in Southern California are asking for Mexican tomatoes because they vine ripen them. The ones grown here in Florida and across the southern U.S. are picked green and gassed into redness.
No, I'm talking about your backyard.
Oh, yeah, my backyard.
Your backyard.
You know, that's funny because I never liked tomatoes until I grew my own.
Yeah.
And then I ate them and I went, wow, what is this? It's so sweet. It's so juicy. It's so red.
Right.
So we grow kale, arugula, lettuce, beets, tomatoes, red and green bell peppers. We have fruit trees. So during our season, see, I heard you talking about the weather in the beginning, and you guys really appreciate the sunshine. Where I live, it's in the high desert in Southern California. We get sunshine every single day. So we actually like coming up to Seattle because it's almost a fun little thing to see rain and see clouds because we don't get them much.
I'm that way if I travel into a sunny climb. I can't wait to get home.
Yeah.
I really like the green.
Yeah,
you know,
I love the green. When you leave our area, the first thing you notice is everything's green. We're pretty much brown unless you grow a lot of stuff. But as we go down the list of substances that cause inflammation and are nerve toxins, et cetera. We talked about dairy foods and chocolate and caseinate. And the next one on the list as being a common cause of pain is MSG.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have heard of MSG. A lot of people, it's funny the response is when I say MSG, some people don't know what it is, but a lot of people know enough to butcher the name. And then the other ones say, well, that's illegal now, isn't it? And of course it's not. It's more heavily used now than it ever has been. And it's a chemical flavor enhancer that's in lots and lots and lots of processed foods, like processed meats, like deli meat, salami, bologna, pastrami. It's in most soups and restaurants. It's in most canned soups. It's in dried soups, top ramen, cup of soup, cup of noodle, TV dinners, flavored snack foods. People who have no dietary consciousness at all, especially like high school kids, right? They only want what tastes good. They're living on chili cheese fries and red hot Cheetos.
Had a picture of Cheetos in your book, you know, and a picture of the label, which has the monosodium glutamate in there. And you have to really look for that. And again, I always say the same thing that you do. If as a label, you shouldn't be eating it.
Right. And it's highly addictive, and the kids, I do a lot of sports physicals for the junior high and high schools, and I always ask them what they eat for lunch, and it's amazing. But Red Hot Cheetos is the number one thing they eat for lunch, more popular than anything else. The other thing that's happened when we go back to milk is, you know, the schools have always pushed milk as the main drink.
Right.
The trend that's happened down here is that now the most popular drink for lunch in school is chocolate milk. And so you're getting the double whammy. You're getting the chocolate and the dairy, and then you can top it off with some Red Hot Cheetos, and you have one of the unhealthiest lunches that you could ever imagine. So,
and then when you have ADHD or behavioral or learning disabilities, you get put on a pill that can further compounds the problem. So,
right, and that comes from, see, the same mentality. That's the major thing is you don't add, you subtract. But again, conventional medicine, because of lobbyists and who knows what, money mainly, have failed to consider the diet, and that's where most of our problems lie. So if you can find a few kids that you can help, I find that a good step. A lot of people look at you like you're crazy when you realize you have to change your diet in order to change your behavior, your learning ability, et cetera. But we are making inroads. Like you said, I think the pendulum is swinging back.
My 15-year-old daughter just went down and certified in Santa Monica with Annie Pio. She's a raw food chef and did her class. And her group of friends in the theater and at school actually call her lunches Reagan's food. Her name is Reagan. And the parents have been asking Reagan for recipes because every time she goes over, she's got her own food because she just takes it wherever she goes. And if there are sleepovers and there's all this other food, she just pulls hers out. She has no problem and eats her own food. And now her friends come over to our house to learn how to make Reagan's food. And that's very cool. So she's actually starting classes and starting a website and, you know, to help teenagers. And I thought, wow, that's just fantastic. 15 years old.
Yeah, there you can see the trend. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people ask me, you know, they said in these interviews, they said, well, what's going to change so that this becomes the way to do things? And I said, what's going to change is this. Who would have thought, in fact, you're from Seattle, so you know, who would have thought 25 years ago that we would all flock into a coffee shop and pay $5 for a cup of coffee? You know, it was that you're out of your mind, you won't do it. But you know what's happened now? It is cool to walk into a Starbucks and buy a coffee that costs too much. It is cool, and so everybody does it. If it gets to the point where it is cool to not eat dairy foods, it's cool to not eat processed foods, it's cool to be a vegan or to eat organic foods, etc., then the trend will change because people won't do it for health reasons. They'll do it because it's cool.
And that is starting to happen in certain
places. Yeah, it is starting to happen. And then also, if we really want to push it over the edge, if you become a pariah, like now cigarette smoking, if you see somebody smoking, you know, anybody would say to them, what are you doing to yourself? You know, you are insane for doing this. And, you know, same thing if somebody could see somebody drinking a milkshake and say, oh, my God, what are you doing to yourself? And once that becomes commonplace, then I think it's going to happen. I think there's going to be it's going to push over a cliff, and then all of a sudden it's going to steamroll. So
we've
got
to get cool out of Red Bulls, you know, get it so it's not cool anymore.
Because
those are cool right now, and I'm just kind of shuddering.
Yes, it's a real shame.
Yeah. And then gluten. Gluten's another
gluten
one.
Is the next one on the list. Gluten is very popular now. And the one mistake I see with gluten, and gluten, by the way, is the first GMO. That was changed back in 1949. And
so
what happened?
That means genetically modified.
Genetically modified food. And, you know, now they're doing that to lots of food. I've heard 90% of corn and 80% of soy.
Salmon is on the list now.
Salmon is on the list. Mm. And so what happened back in the gluten, by the way, is the main protein found in wheat flour, which is bread, pasta, cakes, cookies, crackers, another column or standard part of the standard American diet.
Staple of the Americans, yeah.
Staple of the American diet. There was the word. I knew it was in there somewhere. But anyways, what happened with gluten, people say, well, you know, the way I look at it is this. If you look at dairy foods and you want a logical explanation for why cow's milk is bad for humans, it's not much of a stretch. You know, you can realize that, you know, cow's milk is specifically designed to be the perfect nutrient for baby cows, not for humans. So to put it in the human body, yeah, I can see how it could cause problems. But wheat is the staple of life. You know, what's up with that? And so what happened is, it's always been hybridized and changed over the years, like all of our foods have. But the big change came in 1949 when people were starving in Africa, and the World Health Organization was looking to scientists to say, we need to come up with a foodstuff that we can grow that will produce a lot of food and be drought resistant. And so a lot of the scientists went with wheat. Well, let's try to hybridize wheat and change it. So crossbreeding and hybridizing takes a really long time. So Norman Borlaug was the guy who won the Nobel Peace Prize for doing this. He found a quicker way to change wheat seeds, and he did it by irradiating them with radiation, with alpha and gamma rays, and creating mutations. So he took a bunch of wheat seeds and mutated them. And
got rid of the enzyme that we needed to actually digest.
Right, and when you mutate or when you change nature's intention, most mutations are bad, you know, when they're unhealthy. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, you know, that's what X-Men and Superman are supposedly all about, good mutations. Well, he came up with a few good mutations that were heavily they were very productive plants. They were drought resistant, and so that's what our wheat has become based on, this mutation. And from 1950 on, the incidences of gluten intolerance have quadrupled or gone up 10 times. I forget the number, but they've gone up a lot. And I think it's because of that change. But that's the plus side of gluten intolerance as an issue. But so many people now, because it's popular, they choose to make the diet change by eliminating gluten while they continue to consume dairy foods and chocolate and MSG and aspartame.
Not only that, they go and they get processed baked goods that are gluten-free that are filled with sugar and rice flour, which, of course, rice is not that much better of an option anymore. So, yeah, it's all the processed foods are even worse for you almost than the gluten-containing ones in terms of fiber and nutrition.
And like I said, in my experience with working with diets, I would say that 10 to 15% of the people that I see who have chronic inflammatory conditions, gluten is a factor. Mm-hmm. But in most cases, it's not the big elephant in the room. It's the dairy, the chocolate, the MSG. And that's why I said, that's why I wrote the book in order of what things cause the most problems. Because a lot of people, they really want to consume unhealthy things. They want to consume coffee and sodas and smoke cigarettes, et cetera, et cetera. And I tell them, I say, well, listen, for your specific problem, whether it's migraines or back pain or whatever, if we eliminate just these three things, dairy, chocolate, MSG are the most common, then you're going to get better for your symptoms. But you know, the sodas and the cigarettes and the coffee and all of that, you're going to eventually be consulting somebody else for other issues that are going to come up because of it. But if you only want to eliminate these specific problems, we can probably make a lot of headway just by doing, you know, the short list. And a lot of people, that's the best you can get out of them, you know. So it's a lot of times I trade with them. I say, listen, why don't you go ahead and keep drinking sodas as long as you give me back the dairy and don't have any of that. And sometimes they'll make that trade. You know, I try bribing patients.
You're a lot easier than I am. You're a lot easier.
Well, you know, if my goal is to become really, really famous. And if you get really, really famous, then people just do what you say.
Oh, yeah, there you
know,
go.
And that day hasn't happened yet. So right now I'm begging them and bribing them and everything I can to get them to change their diets. And it is fulfilling when finally they do change their diet.
Right.
And then they say, hey, you were right. It's like, yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, though. It depends on the messenger, I guess. I treated a couple years ago, and she jumped right on it and changed her diet, and he never did. And he'd only come in once a month or once every couple of months. And he was overweight, chronic fatigue, digestive upset, migraines all the time, on disability. And they moved out of the area. I didn't see him for years, and she came in for an adjustment, and he came with her. And he said, you know what? I found a doctor in Utah. He finally found out what was wrong with me. I said, what was it? And he goes, it's my diet. And it was like, oh, okay, good. I'm glad someone finally told you. But, you know, as long as he got the message, of course,
that's
he didn't make the changes. But, you know, and there's some people who just don't. So
well, we have to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about how to do this. What are some of the rules of this? And then what happens when you make these changes and fall off the wagon, so to speak? You're listening to Healthy You Radio. This is Keisha Ewers. We'll return in a moment.
Thinking about doing a cleanse? Why not do it all the way and detox your body, spirit, and mind? Here's what people are saying about Fern Life Center's Ayurvedic full body detox program called Panchakarma.
My journey with Keisha and Fern Life Center began in February 2008. Upon my initial consultation, my heart and spirit knew Keisha would be the compassionate healer and medical provider I had looked for all of my adult life. My now husband and I went through the Ayurvedic Panchakarma detox program and continued to meet with Keisha to focus on our individual growth and healing. I was able to begin peeling back the layers of blockage I had placed in my life decades ago, like the layers of an onion. Not only did I lose 10 pounds and clear up my skin and digestive issues, but this program was a catalyst that created a sense of freedom in my life that I honestly had not thought was possible to achieve.
Start your journey to health and call Fern Life Center at 424-391-3376 today for a consultation with Keisha. Start your cleanse today. For more information and to book an appointment, visit fernlifecenter.com. That's fernlifecenter.com. Mention this ad and get one of your detox supplements free. Not valid with other offers.
Meditation heals and vitalizes both mind and body. Learn this wonderful art with world-renowned meditation instructor Ajayan Boris in the Effortless Mind Meditation Classes. The Effortless Mind Meditation Classes offer a direct experience of exceptionally deep meditation, accessible to anyone. Call the Fern Life Center today, 425-391-FERN. The Effortless Mind. So easy, anyone can do it.
Ajayan's next Effortless Mind Meditation class is being held June 8, 2013 in Issaquah. For more information and to register for the class, visit ajayan.com. That's ajayan.com.
Food is medicine. A change to a diet that is suited to your body type, genes, and unique body needs can help with all health issues. Food as medicine can cure up to 75% of health issues and at least make a difference in 100% of health issues. Our nutritionists will spend at least an hour working with you to integrate healthy food choices into your unique life and work schedule. Erin is compassionate and listens to your food concerns, giving you recipes and meal plans that will fit into your life. Call 425-391-3376 today to make an appointment with Erin and take charge of your health.
If you're suffering with sinus congestion, fatigue, itchy eyes, eczema, acne, or any of the host of symptoms of allergies like hay fever, food allergies, even allergies to animals, you need NAET. NAET is a protocol that actually eliminates your allergies forever. Throw away the antihistamines, stop yearly allergy shots, and enjoy having your family pet in the house. To begin your journey to an allergy-free life, call Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376 or visit fernlifecenter.com. Your consultation with Keisha Ewers, ARNP, is covered by most insurance plans. Call now and start to enjoy the outdoors. Mention this ad and receive your program guidebook free. This is a $20 value. Call or visit Fern Life Center and make your appointment today. 425-391-3376.
Reiki is an ancient and powerful healing practice performed worldwide to treat pain, injuries, stress, and to promote deep relaxation. You can learn how to use Reiki for yourself in the Reiki 1 and 2 certification program at Fern Life Center in Issaquah. Learn the art of feeling, diagnosing, and treating with hands-on healing in Reiki 1. Incorporate distance healing in the Reiki 2 program. Become a certified Reiki master and teach your own classes with this life-changing educational program from Fern Life Center. Call today to start classes. 425-391-FERN. That's 425-391-3376. Or go online to fernlifecenter.com for more information about our products and services. Don't let the opportunity to learn a wonderful healing practice pass you by. Sign up for the Reiki 1 and 2 certification programs at Fern Life Center. 425-391-3376. Mention this ad and get your textbook free.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
It leads you here, despite your destination. Under the Milky Way tonight.
Welcome back to Healthy You Radio. This is Keisha Ewers, and you're joining us for radio that empowers you to heal yourself. And my guest today is Dr. Daniel Toogood, who is the author of Chronic Pain Gone, 90 Days. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Toogood.
Hey, thanks a lot. It's been good.
So you have a website. Why don't you go ahead and give your contact information for people to reach you?
Sure. You can go to my webpage, which is the name of my book, which is www.chronicpaingone90days.com. The book is by the same name, Chronic Pain Gone 90 Days. Anybody can email me and get a hold of me. My email address is drtwoogood@aol.com. That's Dr. Toogood, like the number two and good, at AOL.com. The information at the site will, in fact, there's the pictures up there right now of the psoriasis case, one of the psoriasis cases I treated years ago. And it, you can see the chronic inflammation, and then you can see what it looks like in the middle of treatment and what it looks like at the end of treatment. And so, you know, I can say that headaches go away. I can say that back pain goes away, but I can show you that psoriasis and other autoimmune diseases go away. So you can get the book at Amazon.com. It's at Barnes & Noble. So if you don't have chronic pain, I'm sure you know somebody who does. The title is self-explanatory, Chronic Pain Gone 90 Days. If you follow those instructions, most likely you will be rid of your condition.
We had a caller call in, and I want to talk a little bit about and answer their question very briefly. The caller had asked, well, what about raw, organic, like grass-fed beef milk? And there's an instruction inside of Vedic astrology, and Vedic astrology, of course, is Jyotish. This is the one of the other arms of Ayurveda yoga that comes from the Vedas, which is 10,000 years old. And what I wanted to say to the caller is that the milk that's referred to in the Vedas is not the milk that is present with us today in this country. And a lot of times what will happen is people will go to, say, France, and they have gluten intolerance in this country, and they go to France, and they can have baguettes, and they're fine. And that's because food is sourced differently in these different countries. And so I'd say that even the raw milk that's in this country right now is we're still allergic to casein as a population by and large. So anytime that you have inflammatory condition or you have pain or you have autoimmunity or you have cancer, your history of any of that, then you need to stay away from it. And it doesn't matter if it's raw or pasteurized. And so anyway, do you have anything to add to that, Dr. Tugin?
Yeah, it's just inherently in milk itself, whether it's organic or pure or whatever, or low fat or non fat. It doesn't matter. As long as the milk protein casein is present, which it is in all of those milks, it's going to be inflammatory if you have a sensitivity to it. Amazingly enough, there are some people who don't have a sensitivity to these foods, and they can drink them and eat them just fine. But if you have a chronic inflammatory condition, most likely you cannot.
And people will say, how come all of a sudden all these people have these food allergies? And it is not all of a sudden. It has built up over the last few decades. And part of it is the introduction of antibiotics into our life. And part of it is the xenoestrogens out there, the different chemicals that our body has to work with. The part of it is the fact that we've demineralized our soil, that we've polluted our water table, our air, and genetically modified our food sourcing. And so what that does, you cannot eat a genetically modified food and expect your genetics not to be modified. And so over the generations, things have been getting worse and worse and worse progressively because of this big picture piece. And so, like you were just saying, amazingly, some people still don't have the problem, and that's great.
Right.
And so you just need to make sure, monitor your stress, exercise often,
and
eat organic and non-genetically.
People need specifics. You know, when you tell them they have to be organic and vegan and et cetera, it becomes difficult. But that's why I say specific things. But as far as an individual basis, a lot of patients will say, well, how come I've never had these problems until the last 2 years?
Right.
And there's lots of explanations for that. But one of them is that, and I won't tell you all of them, but one of them is that these people don't realize that they've had a milk sensitivity their entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
They've been going to doctors for various different conditions. And the brief history I'll tell you real quick of milk allergy is in infancy, it's recurrent ear infections. In fact, that's a slam dunk. In almost every case, recurrent ear infections in children is milk allergy. Coughs, sinus congestion, the croup. Growing pains, there's a weird kind of diagnosis, which is usually allergy, usually to milk. And here's a weird one, bedwetting. Bedwetting is another slam dunk. That
autism
is one thing.
Too.
That's milk allergy. Well, I'll tell you, with autism, I have some concerns about that because I've always figured I could change anybody's condition as long as they were willing to change their diets. But I have seen that there are problems with autism. I've had patients that there was just nothing we could do that would change their condition. I believe that in their cases, some irreversible change happened that you can't undo. And that's why as soon as you can, you want to stop the chronic inflammation in your body before you make an irreversible change. For example, consuming alcohol is a poisonous substance, and it destroys your liver. You can quit any time, and it's always better to quit. However, if you go too far and your liver becomes cirrhotic, quitting, you know, is too late, and you're going to have problems. So
there is a researcher that's a neurosurgeon in the UK. Her name is Natasha Campbell McBride that reinstituted the specific carbohydrate diet from a few decades ago that was actually curing celiac back in the day. And she did a lot of research because she had a child born with autism, and she is making great strides in changing people with autism. And so I would refer people to that. It's the Gut and Psychology Syndrome Diet GAPS, which is dairy-free, gluten-free. It's all the things we're talking about, but there are some other things in there. It's not just those components, and it's pretty much eating anything without a label, too.
Yeah, where my knowledge ends is with I do diet work and with medication, and I hope we get a chance to mention some medications. But the next step is environmental. There are many environmental factors that we come in contact with, that we inhale, et cetera, and a lot of the work, the original work on diet was in modern medicine was done by Theron Randolph and Herbert Rinkel. They wrote a book in 1943 called Food Allergies, and it wasn't real popular, but, you know, those of us who know the study are aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But Theron Randolph eventually became an environmental ecologist, and so he looks at environmental factors, which is the paint, the carpet fibers,
right,
the natural gases, fluorescent lights, et cetera, and I haven't gone into that area because I find it difficult enough to to work with people and change their diets.
Mm-hmm. It's huge. All of those pieces are huge, and we'll have to have you on another time to talk more about this. We're out of time. But I wanted to mention briefly in a minute or less that, you know, a lot of these things that you talk about that I find in my practice is that people will say, okay, well, what if I just have a little bit of this thing that I'm allergic to, and that it's not dose dependent, and we don't outgrow our allergies. And I think, and when people go away from the thing that they're allergic to, like casein, and then they bring it back in, that actually they have an increased sensitivity to it, because I think their body is actually really happy that it's been gone, and now, you know, you've reinstigated it in the body.
Right. Well, there's a bunch of things that happen with time factors that we didn't get a chance to go into. But there is, like, a lot of people will quit casein and they'll call me in 4 days and go, guess what? I'm worse. It's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because there's a withdrawal period, there's a slight recovery period, and then there's a time factor. And so the time factor is revealed in my book title called Chronic Pain Gone 90 days.
We have to wrap up, Dr. Tugan.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on.
So remember, everybody, live, love, laugh, learn, and listen to the Healthy You Radio Network, and have a fantastic day.